Let's talk DFS F1. How do we build winning lineups at DraftKings for Fantasy Formula 1? There is a lineup structure. There is a pattern. There is a mold, a model. Let's follow that mold or model. First of all, we need three elite drivers. We're talking elite teams, Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes, McLaren, Aston Martin included. And then we need two punts or two value picks from the back. We're talking Sauber. We're talking Haas. We're talking Williams, Alpine, RBF1. Got it? Three elites, two values. Back to the elites. Sometimes the three elites include Max Verstappen, but never as captain. It depends on the efficiency of the elites. It depends on their pricing. We know Max is taking step number one. So the other three need to finish somewhere around 2, 3, 4, and 5. We need them not to be priced north of $10,000. So we have two scenarios. Three elites that includes Max, or three elites that does not include Max. And it comes down to efficiency. Here we have a pretty efficient day because pricing was pretty forgiving at Bahrain. We'll get into specific optimal lineups at Bahrain and Saudi Arabia next. We'll get into Australia 2023, 2022 next. But first, let's look at structure. Here at Bahrain, we have prices under $10,000. Pretty forgiving for a 2, 3, and a 5. We will absolutely take that. And it leads to efficient days. And because these three steps can be very efficient, that means we don't need Max. We get 60 or 58 fantasy points from these drivers. Although Max scores 39.7 on the day, it is more efficient to take the 58 from them than to play Max, possibly one of these drivers, and then to go dumpster diving with the rest. And it comes down to a small difference often, but in the end, if these drivers are low enough and they're efficient enough, they score maximized points, and Max's lineup just doesn't quite score as many. Again, with these three elites, we need efficiency. If they are $10,000, for example, if the second highest priced driver on the slate finishes second, that creates a bit of a problem for efficiency. And then along with that, the third highest priced driver finishes third. That creates an efficiency problem. If both these guys are above $10,000, it's going to lower their fantasy point per $1,000, making them less efficient, opening the door for a Max lineup. So heading into each race, if you see that we've got like a $10,000 Leclerc and a $10,000 Perez, and they're going to finish 2 and 3, then we might have to step back and say, this looks like it could be a Max week because the 2, 3, 4, and 5 guys just aren't going to be as efficient. They're not going to score enough fantasy points based on their salary. If we can identify a little bit of value and we have guys that could podium at around 8,000, like we do with George Russell, or sometimes 7,000 can get you into a fifth place position, then we could see, you know, the guy that scores the second, third, and fourth or fifth most fantasy points still provide more efficiency than the Max lineup. Regardless, you need three elite in your lineup. And those are the two situations, Max or no Max. Let's take a step over and talk about the constructor, because I didn't talk about that before. It's always Red Bull. Sometimes we can't get Max in our lineup, but we can always get Red Bull in our lineup. And as it was last season, and so far as it has gone this year, they are taking steps 1 and 2. And by taking steps 1 and 2, 25, 18 fantasy points, they're leading all the laps. They're getting all the podiums. They're getting both drivers in the top 10. They're getting that podium boost. And they're getting about 30 more fantasy points than the next best team. That's just too much of a gap given the price difference. If their price was significantly higher, which it's not going to increase anymore, then it wouldn't be the case. But as long as they're scoring almost 30 more fantasy points per race than the next best team consistently, you just keep jamming in Red Bull. So there it is. Three elite, sometimes Max, if we can't get efficiency. And you should have a pretty good idea if you're going to have efficiency going into the race, if you can identify a little bit of value. We'll talk about that later. And then for the punts and value plays, a lot of times, and I hate to say it, this simply comes down to fortune. It comes down to luck. Because the make or break point total for your value guy is their versus bonus. Do they beat their teammates? And often when one of the backpack, mid-pack drivers beats their teammate, it's often because their teammate experienced bad luck. or misfortune. Now, in this case, Joe has a decent race. He gets you 3-place differential, which really 3-to-2-place differential is also never really out of the question when we are playing drivers starting in the very back in Formula One. I know it's hard to pass in Formula One. Place differential is not going to be guaranteed. It's not. But when you start in the very back in Formula One, here's what could and usually will happen. Formula One cars are maxed out. And because of that, mechanical failures are quite common. And so through attrition, these drivers, simply by finishing, will get place differential. These cars are maxed out, and they are very equal at times. And when they run side by side, they suffer damage. And the slightest of damage can be very significant when you're racing against maxed out cars. That can result in retirements, which is a place for one of these guys in the back to gain a spot. It can also compromise what the car can do. And again, that's going to give another place differential point to a car that may not have been good in FP1 or 2 or 3 or in Q3 or Q1. It's just simply a matter of attrition. So you're going to get that baked in. But really, what it all comes down to is place differential. Who benefits from the other driver experiencing bad luck and misfortune? And unfortunately, we can't necessarily predict that. We don't know who's going to wreck in turn one. We don't know who's going to get the cycling wrong. We don't know who's going to pick the wrong tire strategy. We don't know who's going to benefit from when the safety car comes and who's going to ruin their race by a poorly timed safety car. We can't predict that. Now, one thing that we can do if you want to try, and this one, again, is not always 100%, is if you have one of your value picks starting 5 or 6, 7 grid spots closer to the front, then that seems like, hey, if it is hard to pass and this guy's got 6 spots on the other guy, he seems to be the likely play. But again, often it comes down to which of these drivers avoids mistakes. That's pretty much how you can build. Now, there is one thing that I will throw out there that sometimes when we want to lean into playing Max and we're looking for ways to play Max, there's one more off-the-wall strategy. Last week or 2 weeks ago at Saudi Arabia, you could build a really good lineup with Max and Logan Sargeant. And the unique thing is Logan Sargeant lost to his teammate, which is kind of crazy to say that I can build winning lineups without getting my value play winning his matchup. But it is possible if you can get the maximum amount of savings, the bottom salary price, and you get a guy starting almost last through attrition, they'll get you 3-place differential, they get the classified finish. Sargeant actually had a halfway decent day. And the savings, he is not a good point per dollar play. He only scores 4 points, but the savings allows you to maximize in other places. And so you could have built a pretty good lineup. It wasn't the optimal lineup, but that is a lineup construction pattern that you can follow. All right, now let's get to Bahrain. Let's break down some optimal lineups so that we can win some limited fantasy Formula One. Bahrain, you couldn't get to Max, but that was because you had a pretty efficient podium and guys running out the top 5. Perez did typical Perez stuff. One of the things to keep your eye on with Perez is this place differential bonus. This really helps him out a lot. If not for the place differential bonus, he may not be in optimal lineups because he misses out on the versus bonus because he can't beat Max. But this place differential, along with his finishing position, helps him get there. Otherwise, if we've got Perez starting 2nd and he's going to finish 2nd and his salary is, say, north of $10,000, then it's very likely that when the optimal lineup sorts itself out, it either includes Max or it slides down to possibly the drivers with the 3rd, 4th, or 6th most fantasy points just because Perez can't really get it done. Now, if you get Perez with the possibility of 2-place differential points, then it could shift back up, but we also need a salary not to be too expensive. You get Carlos Sainz starting 4th, finishing 3rd, just had a better day than Leclerc. Pretty simple, nothing really magical about it. He was the better Ferrari. He gets on there, and he scores you 15 points. He gets the bonus. He's at 9,000. That works. George Russell, again, starts 3rd, although he does lose some spots, not too many, so he stays right there, that he doesn't lose his place differential. But the key, again, is he gets a top 5 finish. That's 10 points at a pretty affordable 8,000. More importantly, he beats his teammate, which when you have his teammate starting 9th, that's quite an advantage. So he was already a pretty popular play. Not a surprise there. Now, when we look at the value, again, like I said, it's pretty simple to explain how the value often works. Joe has a pretty good race, but ultimately Joe benefits from Bottas suffering damage early in the race and then Bottas also having a penalty later on in the race. Like I said, you need to pick the teammate that does better or just does not experience the problems. K-Mag, yeah, gets you 2 place differential points, but Hulkenberg suffered damage early in the race, and that was it. It was over. Lap one, boom. Looks like it was going to be a K-Mag week. We see Haas almost every single week in optimal lineups, and it's the Haas driver often that just doesn't make a mistake. And hopefully you're on the right Haas driver each week. And at the moment right now, it looks like hopefully you're going to be on the right Sauber driver. Let's look at Saudi Arabia, and let's break down this optimal lineup. Again, you can't afford Max, but you can jam in Red Bull. Again, almost 30 more fantasy points. Pricing here is pretty static, so you go with the 4X, and you don't even think about it. Now here, we're going to end up with a captain that is more expensive than in the last lineup. We actually can get Piastri, but he is 7,200. It's going to be pretty rare that we are spending up on a captain. This probably is going to be about where we maximize our potential and salaries. So we get Leclerc, who sneaks in here by getting that fast lap point. Really huge in interpreting whether he will be in the optimal lineup and the best lineup, how he sneaks away with that 3. It was pretty easy for him to get the 5. Bearman had a good race, but everyone knew Leclerc was going to finish better than the Bear. Pretty simple. 10,000, not that expensive. I mean, actually he is, but he finishes 3rd. And then I cannot tell you how crucial that 3 points was right there, helping him become more efficient and making this a non-max day. Piastri at a value makes things really work pretty well. So again, we look at Leclerc. Finishes 3rd. He's fast. He beats Bearman. We look at Piastri. He beats Norris. A couple things to note there. It was a really good day for Piastri, but it could have been a really good day for Norris. Norris just picked a different strategy. His strategy under pitting just didn't work. Couldn't get the soft to work at the end, I think is what my note says. He stayed out. Ran longer at Jeddah, threw on the softs, but just couldn't get through traffic. So had Norris been able to beat his teammate, then things changed. But the way that it worked out, Piastri finishes 4th. He's significantly cheaper. He's running pretty well at the moment. That really shifts the mold, but still, we're talking 1, 2, 3 elite drivers. Fernando Alonso finishing 5th, ran well here last season, ran well at Jeddah in practice, and again ran well in the race, so you felt confident. And because you got these value plays, you didn't necessarily need 2, 3, 4. 1, 4, 5 on the finishing was fine enough at their prices. They beat their teammate. But again, there's your 3 elite. Then we go, and so as we can see, as I mentioned before, with Sergio Perez, starts 3rd, finishes 2nd. He does not get you the place differential boost. Although it is small, it is significant. Obviously, he doesn't get you the teammate boost. And he finishes at 1.9x at 10,200. Sergio's starting position is very significant. It's going to often be overlooked. He can finish 2nd, but we need him to get a little place differential. Otherwise, when the lineup crunches down and we try to build the best lineup, he's going to fall out of it. And we go down here for savings. Now, because we have those savings right here with these two guys, and if you can identify some cheap drivers that are going to finish in the optimal lineup or have really good days, then we're looking more towards the captain being one of these two guys. If we don't have the 7K guys that are going to get into the top 5, then we move to the captain likely being one of our punt or value picks. Very rarely are we going to have a situation where we can get a really expensive elite into that captain spot. So moving down and explaining our value, how did Hulkenberg get there? You guessed it, Kevin Magnussen this week had early damage. And so then, although it wasn't completely significant, then they later had Kevin Magnussen basically running interference and blocking a bunch of drivers to protect Hulkenberg late in the race. Welcome to F1, folks. And in doing so, K-Mag's not going to beat Hulkenberg, and Hulkenberg is going to be the higher finisher of the group. And he does actually squeeze in there and get a point, gets place differential. Again, you finish the race from one of these guys in the back, they're going to get that place differential. Really, the big thing is we want him to beat the teammate. Hulkenberg beats the teammate by not suffering damage. Esteban Ocon also slides into our lineup, who will technically now be one of these seasons ago, they were almost at the top of the mid-pack. Now they're back there with Williams and Sauber. That's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. And this one really wasn't a surprise, although they're not getting out of Q1 at the moment. And Alpine looks rough. Jeddah had always been really good track for Ocon, and Gasly is just having a horrible season. So simply beating his teammate probably would have been good enough. He finishes 13th. Not the greatest day, but again, not suffering damage, not having a mechanical failure while others do. There's some place differential there. There's the classified. Get the 5 bonus. And then again, we've got Pierre Gasly with mechanical issues. So Ocon finishes the race. His teammate doesn't. Boom, done. Let's look at Australia and continue these patterns of 3 elite, 2 value. Explain the elite, explain the value. Here we go. Now, this is 2023, and we're getting a $14,000 max, which we'll probably never get again. And so we're actually able to get a Max Verstappen lineup. No other explanation needed there. Again, we're always going to take Red Bull. Again, not as sizable of a difference because we don't get the double podium bonus. Perez doesn't quite have the great day, but still, even with only a 15-point gap on Aston Martin, but again, we had a little bit of salary forgiveness there in that race. So we take Max, starts first, finishes first. We take Lewis, starts third, finishes second, and is only $8,200. And then we have two pretty good drivers here, but Perez was way too expensive, doesn't end up being very efficient. Also, Fernando Alonso had finally been marked up price-wise, has a really good race, but really isn't particularly efficient. Like I mentioned before, when we were looking at the mold, if our next 3 elite, if the non-max elite is not necessarily efficient, then it opens the door to a max lineup. When you have a 10K driver finishing where he's supposed to finish and doing nothing else, then it hurts his efficiency and leans towards the max lineup. Again, Perez. Now, obviously, he had to start 20th on the grid, and he rallies to finish 5th. But 5th from 11,400, it's not going to work. Now, also aiding the max play was the fact that early in 2023, McLaren was still going through the struggles. This is where they really started to turn things around, and you get a $5,600 McLaren, and that's a huge value boost. Being able to put Norris in your lineup, starts 13th, really has a fantastic day to finish 6th. Piastri also having a fantastic day. As I mentioned, this is when McLaren really started to get in the motion. And so that works. He beats his teammate, and he gets the place differential boost. Super value makes it easy to get there. There's your 3 elite. Norris, Hamilton, Verstappen, Alonso, and Perez. Good days, but just not efficient fantasy-wise. And that's something that you can predict heading into every single race, whether a guy is going to be efficient enough. If there's enough points available for that driver, we know first place and all those laps led are locked out. So as far as our value goes, what's the story on Hulkenberg? What's the story on Joe? Again, Australia last year, Australia every year, every single week. We're often looking at which Haas driver is going to not mess up, which Sauber driver is not going to mess up, or, well, this was Alfa Romeo then. So we look at Hulkenberg, well, Kevin Magnussen crashed. The field crashed, as you can see right here. And so there's a bunch of place differential built in. Repeat the fact that you can take one of these guys in the back because we can get wild crashes, especially at Australia. We can get some chaos. And you can flirt with the idea of taking a Logan Sargeant, although he doesn't beat his teammate. But he gets a couple place differential points. He gets you a classified. But then that being said, there's going to be other drivers in the value range that benefit as well that could finish inside the top 10 and add some points and beat their teammate. So I don't know if I really need to float with the Logan Sargeant play this week. That might be something I could do in a later round. But it is always on the table where we take a teammate that not necessarily is going to be the winning teammate. But anyway, that explains Hulkenberg. What was the story with Joe? Joe and Bottas were pretty evenly matched. And there's a strong argument that Bottas could have been better, although Joe had a pretty good race. But Bottas was hurt by when the red flags came out. The red flags and the safety cars were at very inopportune times. It ruined Bottas' strategy, and it allowed for Joe to move and cycle ahead of Bottas, and that was it. Again, with the value picks, we're always not really looking at who's going to be the better driver. We're sometimes just looking at who's going to get lucky. Hate to say it, but that's the same in a lot of auto sports. When you're taking your values, you're taking your punts, who's getting lucky dogs, who's taking waiver rounds, who avoids a wreck, who avoids a pit road mistake. You know, that's just auto racing for you. And the value drivers are always going to be very susceptible to variance, volatility, and luck. We look at 2022 as we wrap up here. Thanks for joining me. Like, subscribe, share these videos. Hopefully it helps you. This is a unique race in that early in 2022, Max had not quite kicked it into gear yet. This was a pivotal moment in the season, according to Max. They suffer another mechanical failure early in the year. You remember this was the very early stages of the RB18, and he just didn't have the car, and then he was unable to finish the race. But from here, they learned, they got together, and then just destroyed the field for the rest. But this was still the time where Ferrari had those high hopes. Although there wasn't high hopes for Carlos Sainz, who had a very long weekend, mistake after mistake, problem after problem, he gets knocked out as well. And that creates a unique, interesting situation where we have a Red Bull DNF, we have a Ferrari DNF. And those are usually the two teams that we want to roster in terms of constructor. So since both those teams fail, it ends up being a Ferrari or a Mercedes construction week. That's rare, not something that we're going to count on, but definitely is a possibility when you have a Red Bull and a Ferrari go down. And so when the Red Bull and the Ferrari go down, then we're going to easily get 1, 2, and 3 on the board. Leclerc wins the race, controls the race. He's only 10-6. No surprise. One of our leads. Who's the second? Well, it's going to be Checo Perez, who actually is finally going to get a bonus point, the versus bonus. He finishes second. And then because we have these savings, and even though Russell's not even that expensive, we get a third guy in George Russell, finishing third. Boom, there's your three elite. What's the story on our value? Albon, Mick Schumacher is another Haas guy. And then often in 2022, and still some in 2023, it was very easy to play Williams because Albon routinely beats Logan Sargeant. In 2022, Albon routinely beat Latifi. He gets the bonus. He's cheap. He actually has a huge race in terms of place differential and finishes 10th. And it was simply a strategy play that Albon went on. Albon decided to run really long on hard tires, went 57 laps. But for whatever reason, and they didn't even really know, which again doesn't surprise me that Williams doesn't know why their car was fast, but they were really good on the hard tire as the fuel drained out and burnt off. It got faster and faster. And then they had to make their mandatory stop, put on softs, and were able to finish 10th. Good race, but that really doesn't matter. It's cool that he got the extra points, but really just what matters is that he beat Latifi at 3,400. As far as Mick Schumacher goes, Mick Schumacher had a pretty decent race, but K-Mag's strategy was ruined by safety cars. Very similar to the 2023 Australia race where Bottas loses to Joe. Joe becomes the value pick because of the safety cars. Kevin Magnussen has a down race because of safety cars being wrong and Mick Schumacher. So both cases, both teammates are probably pretty even. It comes down to fortune and misfortune. Hopefully that was helpful. Like, subscribe, share the videos. You should have a good idea now of how to build the lineup. Three elite, two punts, the three elite. We'll include Max if we have some really tight salaries, and we can kind of get an estimation right now of how that might look. You know, if it's going to be tough for Perez at 10-2, to be efficient. These are very early. I don't have a starting grid. I'm just throwing in some pretty simple early projections and trying to maximize where they could possibly be. You can see that when I give a ceiling, I'm not giving the 5 bonus points to Sergio Perez. I am giving it to everyone else. This is just an early ceiling projection to see what like the numbers look like. And the early numbers say, boy, it's going to be tough for Perez at this price to end up in the optimal lineup. He could get squeezed out. But if he gets 2 place differential points, it probably works. Leclerc should be able to work as long as he can get on the podium. But if he is out of the podium, I don't think he works either. And we very well could see a lineup that slides down to these guys. Like Norris can get on the podium, then we can take Norris, and that might open the door to Max. I don't think Sainz is probably going to have the best week ever, being that he just had that appendectomy. Russell at 8,400, if he can get to the top 5, is going to be one of those guys that we lean to. Hamilton's probably too expensive, but if he gets onto the podium, then he's going to work at 9,000. 9,000 range, podium, you're good. Once we get into the 10s, that's when it starts to become really inefficient. As long as they're starting where they're going to finish, they just don't score maximized points. And again, like last week, Alonso and Piastri could be the keys to unlocking how this optimal lineup plays out. They could be captains. They could allow us to play Max. And if they have really good days, it could just be those two or one of those two and two guys without Max. And then, as always, when you look at your value, is it going to be Mag? Is it going to be Hulk? Is it going to be Joe? Is it going to be the bot? And then do we go with the extreme Sergeant? I don't think we need to go with Sergeant slaughtering our lineups. Let's tap you guys around. Love you guys. Triple Flight's fantastic.